Insight welcome listeners to our premiere episode of Crimesters, the Missing, the Murdered, and the Maniacal. I'm Shelley.
And I'm Sultan. Today we're diving into the mysterious disappearance of Mr. Copsey, a case that has baffled investigators for over 30 years.
That's right, Sultan. And on September 17th, 1992, 14-year-old Misty Copsey vanished after attending the Puyallup Fair in Washington State. She was last seen at the fairgrounds around 8:30 p.m.
What we know is that Misty had plans to catch a bus home to Spanaway about 15 miles away, but she never made it.
And her mother, Diana Smith, reported her missing the next day when Misty didn't come home. From that moment, a desperate search began, but Misty seemed to have vanished without a trace. I think it's important that we do talk about Misty herself and the circumstances surrounding her disappearance. Sultan, can you give our listeners some background?
Absolutely, Shelley. Misty Copsey was a 14-year-old girl living in Spanaway, Washington. She was described by those who knew her as a friendly, outgoing teenager who enjoyed typical activities for her age.
That's right. And on the day she disappeared, Misty had gone to the Puyallup Fair with her friend Trina Beverd. It was something many local teens did. The fair was a popular event in the area.
Misty and Trina spent the day at the fair, but when it came time to leave, they ran into a problem. They had missed the last bus back to Spanaway.
And this is where things get a bit complicated. Trina managed to get a ride home with some other friends, but Misty decided to stay behind. She had told Trina she would find another way home.
It's worth noting that Misty called her mother from a payphone at the fairgrounds around 8:30 p.m. She explained the situation and said she would try to get a ride home with another friend.
And that friend was reportedly Rhonda Plank, who Misty had been hoping to meet up with at the fair. However, it's unclear if Misty ever actually connected with Rhonda that night. Misty also had another friend that she would call that night, 18-year-old Reuben Schmidt.
This is where Misty's trail goes cold. She was never seen or heard from again after that phone call to her mother.
Sultan, I think it's crucial we discuss Misty's relationship with her mother, Diana Smith. Their bond does play a significant role in this case.
Absolutely, Shelley. By all accounts, Misty and Diana had a close relationship. Diana was a single mother who worked very hard to provide for Misty.
That's right. Friends and family had described them as having a strong, loving bond. Diana was protective of Misty, which was one of the reasons she was so adamant that Misty hadn't run away.
It's worth noting that on the day Misty disappeared, she asked her mother's permission to go to the fair. Diana initially said no, concerned about Misty going alone, but eventually agreed when Misty said she'd be going with her friend Trina.
This highlights the typical push and pull of a mother-daughter relationship, especially with a teenager. Diana was trying to balance, giving Misty some independence while also keeping her safe.
Exactly, and when Misty called from the fair saying she'd missed her bus, Diana reportedly told her to wait there and that she'd come pick her up when she was done with work, but Misty insisted that she could get a ride with a friend.
This moment haunted Diana for the rest of her life. In later interviews, she expressed regret for not insisting on picking Misty up herself.
After Misty's disappearance, Diana's devotion to her daughter became even more apparent. She tirelessly campaigns to keep Misty's case in the public eye and pushed law enforcement to continue investigating.
Diana's efforts were truly remarkable. She conducted her own investigation, following leads and even confronting persons of interest herself when she felt the police weren't doing enough.
One of the most heartbreaking aspects of this case is how Diana never gave up hope of finding Misty. She kept her daughter's room exactly as it was the day she disappeared, hoping Misty would come home.
Her dedication to finding Misty consumed her life. She spent countless hours distributing flyers, organizing searches, and appealing to the public for information.
It's important to note that Diana faced significant challenges in her quest for answers. She often found herself at odds with law enforcement, feeling they weren't doing enough to find Misty.
That's true. Diana was particularly frustrated when police initially classified Misty as a runaway. She knew her daughter well enough to be certain Misty wouldn't have left voluntarily.
Diana's unwavering belief in her daughter and her relentless pursuit of the truth kept Misty's case alive for years. Even when leads dried up and public interest waned, Diana never stopped searching.
Tragically, though, Diana passed away in 2009, 17 years after Misty's disappearance, without ever knowing what happened to her daughter, her final wish was for others to continue the search for Misty.
Diana Smith's dedication to her daughter is a powerful testament to her mother's love. Her efforts ensured that Misty's case wasn't forgotten and continued to inspire others to seek justice for missing persons.
Now, in the days following Misty's disappearance, her friends were naturally questioned by police. Tina Bevard, just the last known person to see Misty, provided what information she could about their day at the fair and their separation.
Misty's other friends were also interviewed, including Rhonda Plank, the friend Misty had mentioned possibly getting a ride from. However, no one seemed to have any information about what happened to Misty after she was last seen at the fairgrounds.
It's important to mention that there is no evidence suggesting any of Misty's friends were involved in her disappearance. By all accounts, they were just normal teenagers enjoying a day at the fair.
The disappearance deeply affected Misty's school and community. Her friends and classmates were left shocked and confused, struggling to understand how someone they knew could simply vanish.
And in the years that followed, some of Misty's friends remained actively involved in trying to find answers. They participated in searches, distributed flyers, and kept Misty's story alive in the community.
This case really highlights how a tragic event like this can impact not just the immediate family, but an entire circle of friends and acquaintances. For many of Misty's peers, her disappearance was likely their first encounter with this kind of tragedy.
Absolutely, Sultan. And it's a stark reminder of how quickly a normal day can turn into a nightmare. Misty and her friends were just doing what countless other teenagers do, hanging out, having fun at a local event. No one could have ever predicted how it would end.
The initial investigation, though, did face some challenges. At first, as stated before, police classified Misty as a runaway, which her mother vehemently disputed. This classification may have delayed a more thorough investigation in those crucial early days.
That's a good point, Sultan. It's unfortunately common in missing person cases for teens to be initially labeled as runaways. But Diana insisted that Misty would have never run away voluntarily. As the investigation progressed, police began to look at several persons of interest. One of the most prominent was a man named Reuben Schmidt, who claimed to have given Misty a ride on the night she disappeared.
Schmidt's involvement in the case is quite complex, Shelley. Let's break it down for our listeners. Let's also give a disclaimer about Schmidt for our listeners. We are, in fact, both relatives of Schmidt and are looking at this case for the truth and not to protect or harm family.
Thanks for mentioning that. Now, Schmidt first came to the attention of investigators when he claimed to have picked up Misty at the fairgrounds and given her a ride. Initially, he said he had dropped her off at a nearby restaurant.
That's right, but his story didn't end there. Over the years, Schmidt's account of what happened that night changed multiple times, raising serious suspicions.
In one version, he claimed he dropped Misty off near her home. In another, he said he left her at a gas station. And in another, he said he never gave her a ride at all because he didn't have enough gas. The last story would be the one he stuck with. These inconsistencies made investigators take a closer look at Schmidt.
It's also worth noting that Schmidt had a criminal record, including a conviction for child molestation. This obviously heightened concerns about his potential involvement in Misty's disappearance.
Absolutely, Sultan. In fact, in 1993, Schmidt failed a polygraph test regarding Misty's disappearance. Witnesses in the room stated that Schmidt would try to fall asleep to slow his heart rate down. However, it's important to remember, our listeners, that polygraph results are not admissible in court and their reliability is debated.
Despite the suspicions surrounding Schmidt, police never had enough evidence to charge him in connection with Misty's disappearance. He remained a person of interest, but was never officially named as a suspect. Schmidt's roommate, named James, also told police that he was hanging with his 14-year-old girlfriend when Misty called, and the girlfriend left upset that Schmidt talked to Misty.
That's right. James also said that about 10 minutes after the phone call, Schmidt and his uncle, which one is unknown, left in his yellow Cordoba, which was later said to be impounded and demolished, but there hasn't been any evidence providing such. In a bizarre twist, though, years after Missy's disappearance, Schmidt actually reached out to her mother, Diana. He offered to help in the search for Misty, which understandably made Diana very uncomfortable.
That must have been incredibly distressing for her. Do we know what came of that interaction?
Diana reportedly met with Schmidt under police supervision, hoping to glean some information about her daughter's fate. Unfortunately, nothing substantial came from the meeting.
It's a frustrating aspect of the case. Schmidt's changing stories and his insertion of himself into the investigation raised a lot of red flags, but investigators were never able to definitively link him to Misty's disappearance. Schmidt also told his boss at a work barbecue that he knew Misty would never be found and that she was probably buried on his grandmother's pig farm. Schmidt stated that he only said that to get people off his back. Definitely an odd way to make people leave you alone.
Absolutely a weird excuse. Let's dive deeper into the background of Reuben Schmidt.
Good idea, Shelley. Schmidt's background is certainly relevant to the case and raises a ton of red flags.
First and foremost, it's important to note that Schmidt had a criminal record prior to Misty's disappearance, and the most significant part of this record was a conviction for child molestation.
That's correct. This conviction obviously cast a dark shadow over his potential involvement in Misty's case. Do we know when this conviction occurred?
The exact date isn't clear in my information, but it was prior to Misty's disappearance in 92. This prior conviction is one of the reasons investigators took his claims about giving Misty a ride so seriously.
Beyond this conviction, Schmidt was known to law enforcement for other reasons. He did have a history of run-ins with the law, though the full extent of this criminal record isn't entirely clear.
It's also worth mentioning that Schmidt was familiar with the area where Misty disappeared. He lived in the vicinity and was known to frequent the Puyallup Fair.
That local knowledge certainly adds another layer to his potential involvement. Did investigators happen to look into his activities around the time of Misty's disappearance?
They did. Police scrutinized Schmidt's whereabouts and activities on the night Misty vanished. However, they were never able to definitively place him with Misty that night, despite his own claims.
It's important to remind our listeners that despite the suspicions surrounding Schmidt, he was never formally charged in connection with Misty Kopsch's disappearance.
Absolutely. And while his background and changing stories made him a person of interest, investigators never gathered enough evidence to bring charges against him.
Schmidt's involvement in the case continued for years after Misty's disappearance. He periodically resurfaced, sometimes offering new information or changing his entire story.
This pattern of behavior, inserting himself into the investigation and changing his account, is something criminologists often notice suspicious in cases like this.
Indeed. While we must be careful not to accuse someone without proof, Schmidt's background and behavior certainly make him a focal point of the investigation for many years.
Exactly. And it's worth mentioning that Schmidt wasn't the only person of interest in the case. Investigators looked into several other individuals as well, but Schmidt remained one of the most prominent figures in the investigation due to his claims about that night.
But what this really highlights is the challenges investigators face in cases like these, where potential witnesses or suspects provide inconsistent or changing information. Another angle investigators pursued was a possible connection to the Green River Killer, Gary Ridgway. Some speculated that Misty might have been one of his victims, but this theory was never proven.
One of the most heartbreaking aspects of this case is the tireless efforts of Misty's mother. She never did give up searching for answers about what happened to her daughter.
To this day, Misty's disappearance remains unsolved. It's a case that highlights the long-lasting impact of missing persons cases on families and communities.
There is an aspect of this case we do need to address, Sultan. It involves some sensitive allegations, but it's important for understanding the full picture.
You're right, Shelley. We should note that this information needs to be treated carefully, as it involves unproven allegations and potentially misreported details. From what we know, some reports suggest there were rape accusations made against Schmidt by one of Misty's friends, but the details remain murky. We don't have confirmed information about any formal charges or their disposition.
It's crucial to emphasize that these allegations, while part of the case narrative, were never proven in court to our knowledge. They add another layer of complexity to an already complicated case.
Absolutely. This underscores the challenges in investigating cold cases like Misty's disappearance, where various allegations and leads emerge over time, but concrete, actual evidence is hard to come by.
We should encourage our listeners, if they're interested in these aspects of the case, to look into official sources or reputable news reports for the most accurate and up-to-date information.
That's a great point, Shelley. In cases like these, it's important to be cautious about unverified claims and to focus on the facts that are known and confirmed.
Sultan, it's been over 30 years since Misty Copsey disappeared. Let's bring our listeners up to date to where the case stands today.
You're right, Shelley. Despite the passage of time, Misty's case remains officially open but unsolved.
And as of 2024, there have been no major breakthroughs in the case that we're aware of. The Puyallup Police Department still considers this an active investigation.
That's correct. While the case has gone cold, law enforcement has stated that they continue to follow up on any new leads or information that comes in.
One of the most significant developments in recent years was the discovery of some of Misty's clothing in 2013. Items including her blue jeans and underwear were found in a wooded area near Buckley, Washington.
That discovery raised hopes of a breakthrough, but unfortunately, it didn't lead to any conclusive evidence about what happened to Misty or who was responsible for her disappearance.
The case has been featured, though, on various true crime shows and podcasts over the years, which has helped keep it in the public eye. However, this increased attention hasn't resulted in solving the mystery.
It's worth noting that advances in forensic technology have allowed for the re-examination of evidence in many cold cases like this one. Has there been any indication of that happening in Misty's case?
While we don't have specific information about recent forensic work, it's standard practice for law enforcement to periodically review cold cases with new technology. However, no publicly announced breakthroughs have come from such efforts in this case.
For our listeners who might want information about Misty's disappearance, it's important to emphasize that it's never too late to come forward.
Absolutely. The Puyallup Police Department still maintains an open file on this case and welcomes any new information, no matter how small or seemingly insignificant it might seem.
As it stands now, Misty Copsey's disappearance remains one of Washington State's most enduring mysteries. While the case has gone cold, the hope for a resolution hasn't faded.
That's right, Sultan. Until there are definitive answers, Misty's case will continue to haunt her community and the many people who have followed it over the years. As we wrap up, we want to remind our listeners that if you have any information about Misty Copsey's disappearance, please contact the Puyallup Police Department.
That's right. Even after all these years, new information can be the key to finally solving this case and bringing closure to Misty's loved ones.
Thanks for listening to Crimesters. Join us next time as we explore another case of the missing, the murdered, and the maniacal.
Until then, stay safe and keep the victims and their families in your thoughts.